This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes! We're back.
Was that a cough and we're just straight back on
that's
it?
That's the first thing everyone heard.
Oh, charming.
After a week. Hey, guys, can I say it's great to be back and the vibe in here could not be better. Am I right, Dave?
Not Dave? Sure.
Sorry, are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you, Jane. I've missed you so much, but I'm sure we'll get to the bottom of everything
that happened while we weren't here. I missed our listeners.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Well, we'll try and talk to them a little later. Why don't we get them to fill us in as to what happened while we were gone?
A lot seems to have happened in a week we've been away. Yeah. There's been celebrity news, baby news, deaths, marriages.
Animal news.
It's all been happening.
There's so much going on.
We've got a special guest. We've got Jackie Gillies coming in today.
Oh, wow. I knew that psychically.
You did.
She's coming in. What's your new show?
She's going to shine it up for us.
Great.
She's all about the shine.
What about Tim Ross? Rosso will be back in. Last time he was here, he talked iconic Australian design.
I want to talk more about
that. Exactly right. We got cut off midstream.
We did.
I think in an argument about whether the Hill's Hoist
was iconic. Really Australian
he's telling
or
me it's not.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't believe it.
No, that's crazy.
Yeski, that's ours.
I've got entertainment news.
Right.
Because I still managed to watch all my shows even though I was on a holiday because it's part of my
You are pretty
times.
Good at that.
I'm good at that.
You so keep your eye on everything.
I'll fill you in on that.
And, of course, we'll have Mick and Jane Gone Wild
with
some great stories. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. But before that, just hello, everyone. Great to be back. Dave, how was your week off?
Had a great week in here, guys. Missed you guys, though. It's a bit lonely. Just me in the chamber pot for the week, but so good to have you back in the studio.
Don't touch. So that means a lot to me, that chamber pot.
It's over here behind me now. It's moved.
You did take a photograph.
You don't just help yourself to something that belongs to someone else, mate.
Oh, really?
That would be terrible.
Oh, really, Michael Malloy?
Hello, Jane. How are you? Are you back from swishing around in Tangiers or somewhere? Mm. What were you doing?
Oh, you're interested,
riding
are you?
Palominos on the beach with bareback. What were you doing? Give us a hint.
You really don't know who or what you're dealing with,
hey,
do you?
Jane.
Because while I was away, and well,
good to see you, by the way. You look fantastic.
You may try to suck up to me, and it's not going to work. While we're away,
let's just be adult about
much
this.
To my horror, on Instagram, there first appeared a picture of you with my bomber jacket that I have not officially sold to you.
I'd forgot about that. Yes.
You forgot about that.
Well, no, you sold to me from Mick.
No, I didn't. You bullied me into a transaction that I did not approve.
No, I think that was done.
No, let's have a listen.
Was that your recollection,
let's go
Dave?
Back in time and listen to what I said.
I want to offer you a Mick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want you a Triple M bomber jacket.
No deal.
Deal.
No deal.
Did she
deal.
Say deal?
I said no deal. No flipping way.
You're demeaning the value of the Mickcoin here. You actually.
You are evil and you take your beady little eyes off my bomber jacket.
Want to see,
that
want to see a photo of
chair.
Me wearing it around the office when you're not here?
Don't you do that. Don't you put it on.
Do you want to see it?
No, you haven't put it on. Have you? I'll kill you.
That was pretty harsh, some of that stuff. Beady little eyes.
Did you not hear the emotion in
my voice?
Do you
feel okay with that?
Oh, gosh. You know what? Look, here, I just want to say, gosh, you it was really funny.
What are you talking about?
Oh, Mickey.
Why?
Well,
I put
you took my jacket I was not in the office.
I was convinced it was mine.
You stole it. And the first time we saw you, oh, it was a laugh. You're buying some beers and you had the jacket on yourself.
I was down at the golf club.
Down the golf club. And
it was
and,
turning heads, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's because you were stretching it to Billy O with your...
That's the least of the problems with the Triple M jacket.
Because the next time I saw it, I was away, about to go out for a nice dinner, and ding, up comes on my Insta feed. Oh, it's a chipper picture of Mickey and then three strippers, was it?
Three
from Kittens. And one of the lasses, who looked about 12, was wearing my... bomber.
Good times.
Jacket.
That was great.
She was wearing it. The long blonde hair all over it. Well, not real.
Oh, how dare you? come on. Let's not make this a bad
thing.
Let's
then.
Let's not try and... Let's not
make it... Yeah, no, there was more. It continued. and you wore it to Channel 7.
I wore it to Channel 7 and took it into Live Night. I was going to give it away as a prize. Just, you know,
I love the way you're looking at me now, like you think it's just all a bit of mischief.
But that's all it was. It was a bit of harmless fun, and I'm good on you for taking it so well.
You know what? I've decided, and I've had a good thing about this, I'm just going to take it in the right spirit because it was you got me, Mick.
I did. I did.
Oh, good for you, and I have a jolly good laugh about it. And,
I don't like where this is heading.
You've been very nice about this, Joe.
Oh, look. I've forgotten about it already. Don't you worry a thing about it.
Where is it?
What do you mean, where is it?
The jacket.
What?
Oh, it's not here.
Well, I'm hoping it's at least at the dry cleaner because I'm not taking it back unless it's been dried by a premium dry cleaner.
I'll tell you where more likely is forensics. you should see the stuff we couldn't post.
Oh, really? This is hilarious.
Here's my word. Does a dry cleaner get sand out? How do you get sand out?
Sand?
Don't ask. But how do you get sand?
Did you imply that it had been to a police station?
I know it's been to a police station.
Jane, you're all right with it, aren't you?
Of course
Come
not.
On. No one got hurt and we had a laugh.
We had a laugh. What are you doing? Everything's fine. Let's just drop it.
Can I just tell you this?
Drop it.
He's playing a hardball here. Can I tell you this?
What's that?
It was given to you from...
You're mumbling your words.
Sydney Triple M.
Quick six. Get it out.
Sydney Triple M. Mm. And it was like sitting on the back of someone's chair and then they set it down and gave it to you.
Gifted to me, personally,
Well, that's where it came from. So I'm guessing it's already been to a strip club at some stage. Jane, let it go.
I've told you.
Do you know what it was?
I told you I'm fine.
We move on?
Let's move on.
What have you done?
Don't you worry pretty little head about it,
Hey,
Michael.
Guess what? Can we come back and talk about stuff that happened while we were away?
Let's do that.
Oh, you were swanning around. Was it Morocco? Where were you?
I've told you. I went to Asia.
Okay.
And I didn't go to that joint with all the people in Thailand who had them. You went with that?
It would have been funny if your jacket hadn't been seen there. The orgy.
Oh, no.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
And you spent the week in here.
I did.
Playing bits of our show.
Yeah, it was your rostered week off.
So you had the best holiday. You got to sit here and listen to us turn
I'm sure Dave would have preferred to have a week off.
That would have been nice
the magic. You get to hear it all again and relive it.
Yeah.
You go, I was there. I had front row seats.
I did. I could have had
stuff.
The jacket for the week.
I could
have taken that.
Referring to Jack Kennedy's Triple M bomber jacket, could we please now just refer to it as Exhibit A?
Where is it?
I'll tell you what.
That's a big question.
You did bring a lot of joy to your followers on Instagram because they're all over it.
Yeah, they worried me a bit. There was a suggestion that you mightn't have taken it that
way.
I went, don't be silly. She's a ripping girl.
There was quite a lot of, oh, no. Mm. Oh, Mickey. Oh, Jane's not going to like this.
Yeah.
Or I hate climbing ladders, says Mick. You do realise women do revenge really well. I'll just do it myself.
I have first-hand experience of that.
Yeah.
No, Jane, you see the funny. That's what I know, and that's what I love about you.
Mm-hmm.
You have this ability to move on.
Oh, this way that's you're looking at me is actually really hilarious.
Yeah, I know who you are. I know who you are as a person.
I don't think you do, actually.
And you're better than this.
Mm.
Oh, I know.
I don't think you really know the real me. I think you're in for a bit of a shock.
Oh, dear.
I'll just do it myself, says... The challenge is on Jane's Triple M jacket. 5 strip clubs, 5 states, 5 days. Yeah, well, that's not going to happen.
No.
Skewy 2008 says, can't wait to see the results of a black light on the jacket.
Oh, yeah.
LMFAO. You wouldn't even know what that means. Would you? Mick.
Jeez.
I can't read some of them.
Hey, don't worry about it. All right. It's all over. It's done.
It's done and dusted.
As soon as that jacket turns up.
No. I am really confident, if you don't want to upset me, that jacket is currently at a dry cleaner and, pardon me, look at me in the eyes, at a premium dry cleaner. That's a special one. That's where they take wedding dresses to and other very fancy items. It must be
Don't get overexcited. Hey, so let's talk about
let's
what happened while we were away. And we'll get people to call in 133353.
Let us know. Did go on.
There was a load of stuff going on in this country, overseas. It was huge.
I don't even know where do we start.
Okay, well, you were swanning around in off of the boot or some kind of peninsula in the. I don't know what you get up to, but
you know, with my crazy life.
Who knows?
Hello, let's just
give us
what
a hint.
What
region of the?
I told you it was Asia. It was Asia.
Oh, and I'll buy it for
now. I ate spicy food.
Good for you, Jane.
Thank you.
Thanks. I wanted to. Well, you know what you missed, and it was one of the great things. I love it when a great racehorse permeates our culture and stands outside of the racing industry. But this horse, Winx, won its 25th straight Queen Elizabeth Stakes, and it romped home against probably its best field yet. All the other horses were serious Group 1 winners. If there was ever going to be any sign of danger, it would probably be this race. And it just bowled home. Everyone got involved. The whole
did it
nation,
look like it was in trouble at any time?
Not really, no. It just got into the straight and just wound up and went past them all as if they were
exciting.
Walking. Well, we were all excited, but Noah was more excited than Bruce McAvaney,
who was actually
at the Comm Games while it was happening.
Yeah, so
he couldn't
he wasn't
be there.
It.
He wasn't calling it. Well, I hope he wasn't, because this is the worst call in history. But have a listen to him enjoying Winx, and mow down the field to win her 25th straight.
Just sit. Just balance her up. Come on. She's home. Come on. She's home. Look at her go. Have a look at this. It's the best thing you've ever seen. That is the best thing I've ever seen. I love her.
Oh,
he's fantastic.
God, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. He is brilliant. You know he's got a party trick, Bruce, where he can call the last 400 metres of any Melbourne Cup from any year, and I've seen him do it live.
Really?
I was at a restaurant once, and he stood on the back of a chair, and people in the restaurant called out years. 1982, and he would call it home. Vanderholm, he'd do the last, he did it all. And when he called the last one past the post, the restaurateur, a guy named Ronnie D'Estasio, ran out from the wings, shook up a bottle of champagne, sprayed all the all the diners in the restaurant, and then goes, "Ladies, send me your dry cleaning."
Oh, no way.
And so
that's
that night
fantastic.
Ended. That was good.
Hey, we've also had the Commonwealth Games has started, finished up. Mm. I was away for the closing ceremony, but that was a bit of a kerfuffle, wasn't it?
It was a bit of a kerfuffle. Here's Bruce. Here's a bit of Bruce watching the closing ceremony.
Okay. Have a look at this. It's the best thing you've ever seen. No,
see, that's not believable. is not believable.
So how
what happened?
How was Griggsy? She's come out with Basil after the ceremony, and there was a bit of a kerfuffle over who had the rights and that they didn't show the athletes coming into the arena, which is something that we, you know, have a we love to see them because we want to see, and that's their big moment too.
That's their time. They've put in it's like taking a bow.
Yeah,
it's like you've put on the show. There's 2 weeks. You've busted your ass. You've done brilliantly for Australia. But as the ratings are through the roof, why the hell wouldn't you want to and clap out of the arena the Australian team?
We
want
our flag bearer as well. Thanks very much. And so instead we had a tribute to sisterhood. And, you know, there's a time to celebrate chicks, and I'm the first one to say that. But I don't know if it was right to hijack the closing ceremony of the Commonwealth Games, which is inclusive.
Yeah,
totally.
I thought it was kind of an unusual call, and I understand why people might have felt
it was a stretch.
It was a stretch.
It was all female entertainment, and it was all there was a 45-minute version of sisters doing it for themselves or something.
I think,
come on, it's the Comm Games. It's been an inclusive, as you say, a great.
And all we wanted was Johnny Farnham singing The Voice. Yep. Didn't get that.
That's that stupid idiot koala turning up. What's it called? Broby. What an idiot. Hey, 133353, give us a call. Joe's there quickly before we go. Joe, what did...
what did we miss?
Didn't someone in the Deadpool choose Barbara Bush? I'm sure she died.
Oh, gosh. So we're referring to the Deadpool, which I'm not involved in. But
Dave,
Dave,
did you have Barbara Bush?
No, I got George, George Senior.
George Senior.
Close.
So you got...
Not Babs.
You got half a Bush. Does that count?
Oh, wish.
Barbara Bush.
Yeah.
Well, oh, look, she was here. She was an interesting lady.
So we go, what happened while we were away? And one of our calls rings up to say, who did anyone have Barbara Bush in the Deadpool?
See, that's what I like about our listeners.
Give him a prize, Joe.
You got a Kennedy Malloy prize pack coming your way there,
and
Joe.
Give
Thank
us a
you,
call.
Mate.
Yep.
133353. What'd we miss? Calls next.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, which is probably why the show's called Kennedy Malloy. That's just my best guess.
Just before we go to calls, we've asked listeners to tell us what might we have missed since we've been away in the last week.
133353.
Give us another call. Was I correct? But just at the very top of the opening of the show, we've refreshed.
Yeah.
We've been away for a week. You're jumping out of our skins. But
experienced broadcasters.
Did you just cough before we came on? Can we just hear that, please?
This is how it sounded as it went to air.
Kennedy Malloy.
Hang on. Can we isolate that, please?
Yeah. Okay,
without the music.
Without the music?
Yeah.
Yes! We're back!
Was that a cough and we just straight back
okay,
on?
Okay, turn it off, Dave. Well, I'll have you know, I'm a legendary Australian radio performer.
That is
don't
so unprofessional. You,
try, you
do understand.
See how many
literally,
arias I
see
have?
There's buttons in front of us.
How many rail wards I have?
Listen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. One says cough.
Yeah.
All right?
Right next to the green.
Which one?
The one with cough on it.
It'll be this one.
Try it.
Not that one.
No. Oh, Mick.
Oh, don't do that. Don't you get that cough out of there.
No, keep it.
Mick.
How many years have you been working in radio? Oh, we're never going to win a reward. What do they call them? ACRA for this show.
They were rewards in the 90s. That's what they were called. That's
well,
what I
want.
What are they
long,
called now?
It shows you how long I've been ruling the airwaves.
Right.
Yeah, well, yes, so professional.
Don't think you can sink it all with that. Hey, we're talking about stuff that happened while we were away. Trump, too much to begin with. I don't even want to open that. Can
Hornet's
of worms.
Nest.
The best response I heard to when he went to Syria and he put all his Tomahawk missiles into Syria, Bill Maher on air called it Operation Desert Stormy, which I thought was the best, most succinct understanding of what was happening over there. This was one that really worried me. Mm. This is staggering news. Facial recognition technology spots wanted man in crowd of 60,000 Chinese concert goers. You saw this story, didn't you, Dave?
I did, yeah.
So in a crowd of 60,000 people in China at a DJ concert or something like that, there's one wanted man, facial scanning recognition, bang, found him, found his seat, walked in, grabbed him, walked him out.
Out of 60,000
people. And what's more staggering than that is it's in China, and we all know how Asians look the same.
Oh, really? Really?
Of what?
Speaking of unprofessional.
I'm back.
Boy, you're skating on thin ice.
There's some gasps out in the control room there.
Kanye,
the glass is just fogged
on.
Up in the studio.
Kanye.
What?
Oh, actually, no, I should think we should get to some calls.
Let's
I'm going
to
talk about Kanye
calls.
Later.
Right,
Jared,
fine.
Jared's there.
Jared.
Oh, hi. Hi, Jared. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
What did we miss while we're away?
Sadly, yesterday, Vern Troyer passed away, who was more famously known as Mini-Me.
Mini-Me.
That's right. Now, he wasn't very old.
He was
47, 48, something like that.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, if you're going to be a pallbearer at a funeral, that'd be a good one.
Really?
Yeah, because he's tiny. I feel like carrying a slab.
I get it. Listen. I get it.
You know, you carry a slab away from a bottle shop. Jeez. You just have it on your shoulder.
Is this not where the dump button is appropriate? Hello? Anyone around here working?
No, good. I'm sorry to say, Vern. Yeah, Troy was a good actor.
Thank you.
Mini-Me. I had a Mini-Me.
You did too.
On a TV show.
Mini-Mick.
Are you trying to save this?
No, I had a Mini-Mick. And we were... No, I can't remember the name.
What is going on with you? Are you sure you are match fit? I don't think so. Let's go to Jeff.
That was
Jeff,
a good story. All right.
Let's hear what else we might have missed.
G'day, Jane. G'day, Dangerous.
Hello, mate.
Who's that other bloke you got there?
Yeah.
Hey.
Some clown today, Jeff. God help me.
Now, this is not Deadpool stuff because he deserves more respect than that. missed the passing of the great Darryl Eastlake.
Oh, that's sad.
Big Darryl. Oh. That's right. He was. He was a big part of the Channel 9 commentary team
for some time.
I think the weightlifting was the first one I ever heard with him.
He really liked that. That's what you love it when you're watching your Olympics and your Commonwealth Games.
And you know
games,
you made it when the 12th man parried his.
Of course. He did a great Darryl.
Well, I tell you what, if you want to laugh at the wake, that would be a great thing to pull
it
out.
Afterwards,
surrounded by family and friends and get a few of those.
Well, valet Darryl Eastlake.
He will be missed, Darryl.
He will be missed. Thank you, Jeff, for that. Mark, how are you going?
Good, Jane. How are you?
Good, thanks. What did I miss in the last week?
You missed Kitty Sullivan making a comeback last week.
Now, I literally was back yesterday, and joy of all joys, I was able to catch a little of Susan Hannaford, who's Kitty Sullivan.
Who I believe also passed away in the last year. looking at the footage.
Mark, is it fair for me to say WTF?
Now, listen, don't go too early on this. Don't take the bait from Mark because I know you've been working on something.
I just think people just have to hear this bird. She's crackers.
Hang around in the next hour. We're going to play
Thank you, Mark. We'll give you a prize for jogging my memory there.
Yeah, you got tickets to go see the Screaming Jets for their Rock Riot Tour. Screamingjets.com.au.
Sounds good. Keep the calls coming. I'm enjoying this. We'll just keep bowling on through.
133353 is the number, by the way. What did Mick and Jane miss?
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Someone I've missed who's been away for about 11 months off Twitter is Kanye.
Oh, he's back, isn't he? He's back and firing too.
He's back and firing. He's writing a book in real time, he says, on Twitter. What does that mean? He says, oh, look, by the way, this is my book that I'm writing in real time. No publisher or publicist will tell me what to put, where or how many pages to write. This is not a financial opportunity. This is an innate need to be expressive.
Okay, so is this what the world's come to now? So the world of literature, you just bung a few tweets together.
Yep. Well, if you can, yeah,
and
you can.
Imagine the bard. Shakespeare just knocking out a couple of tweets a day and then bunging them all together.
That's kind of what a sonnet is, isn't it?
No, it's not, Jane.
You know.
You're better than that. Come on.
Sorry, I forgot you're an expert in Shakespeare as well.
Ask me anything.
No, I can't be bothered.
Hey, can I mention one? Oh, are you still going?
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just going to say, this is the kind of tweets he's putting out.
Oh, yeah. Yes, please.
Here's one. My album is 7 songs. One tweet. Next one. June 1st.
How's that philosophical?
Next one. Me and Cootie album, June 8th. So it's just another promotional crock.
That he's going to bundle up into a book.
Great. The Kardashians. Oh, Khloe Kardashian had a baby.
All right. Is this huge.
It is huge because... Because her boyfriend was stumping two strippers at a club, ring any bells.
Good times.
and on the day that she was in labour, it all exploded in the media and that the time when we left,
in the old days, that's how you celebrated a baby.
It's not how you celebrated a baby.
We weren't allowed there, but this was the best thing about it. You weren't allowed anywhere near the birthing suite.
According to who, the best thing about it?
You would then go, men. And any man who says otherwise is playing to the crowd, i.e. women.
Do you have, like, two friends, really? Is that what you're down to? Because most men I know are not like that.
Yeah.
I know nice men.
Oh, would I miss it?
I know nice men.
I would love to be there. I wouldn't be there for anything else.
They would. Anyway, Chloe had a baby, and she called the baby True.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. That's a sad story.
Spandau Ballet song.
I know. That's what it made me think of,
That'll
too.
Make him turn up next time so she doesn't name it something stupid.
That's terrible.
That is unbelievable. In the old days, you would have the baby.
Sorry, are you telling me about babies?
And we would
all be down the pub smoking
cigars and having a whale of a time.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that fantastic?
It's so sad.
That's how it used to work up until about 20 years ago. And now... Everyone goes, this has been happening forever. No, it hasn't. 20 years ago, we're allowed near the joint.
I'm exhausted already. And here's one for you.
I don't know the name of the cafe, but this happened while we're away. A cafe in Sydney started selling sauce for $6.
What? On the side?
As extra.
What?
Can we find the name of the cafe? Someone, I can't remember
that
what it was
called. Un-Australian.
That is the most un-Australian thing I've ever heard.
You cannot charge extra if you're in a cafe.
For sauce. So if you've ordered your steak or you've ordered a bowl of chips, quite frankly.
And by the way, give us flipping ketchup, not your homemade crap. Thanks very much.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like that.
We haven't talked about this. What's
I don't like sauce that's not sauce.
I get you.
And I'm like, oh, we've gone organic. We're going to make our own
sauce.
What
do they call it now?
No,
they call
I don't want
like
it.
Not a puree. Oh, it's like
passata.
Like a jus.
A jus.
I don't know.
Both of you stop.
What are you doing?
Cafe 101.
Both of you stop with your, what do you
Cafe
call it?
Cafe 101. Thank you. Okay. Cafe 101 in Sydney. Yep. $6. So you order your steak, you order whatever. And, do you want a sauce with that? Yeah. That'll be $6.
What a cheat.
How many kids did you have? Imagine if you had to pay $6 extra for how many?
But, mate, I'll tell you, once I paid $15 because there was five of them, we went and had hamburgers at a trendy joint, and I said, can we have some sauce? Out comes some, that's bollocks sauce, which is not proper sauce, and on the bill she charged me $3 each
that's
for a kid.
Bull.
And that is $15 I got charged for flipping sauce.
I would have gone back after hours and burnt that cafe down.
I don't think that's...
I reckon I would have.
No. Again, that's where we differ. Yeah.
Hey, we've got some calls on the line. Chris.
What do we miss, Chris?
Well, a regular farmhouse on the country practice fell down. You know, it collapsed.
But
not where Molly and Brendan were.
That correct.
Is Wombat there?
See?
Who was Wombat?
Yeah.
Is it Wombat?
What was Wombat?
Wombat. I don't think he was there. The RSPCA would have been there as well.
Oh, that's sad. Thanks for that, Chris. That's a bit of insight.
The house from a country practice would be pretty old now, wouldn't it?
It was old in the first place. Mm. How many episodes of Country Practice did you ever watch? Zero.
More than you.
Oh, as if. I'll take you on. As if you watched at Country Practice more than I did.
Remember we tried? I think me and Rob Sitcher one day tried to find Wandon Valley in the Millways.
Not realising it's a made-up name.
I thought we should go out there and film something.
Don't exist. Thanks, Chris, for that. Jason.
Yeah, how you going, guys?
Good. How are you going?
Good. What? Now, I might have missed this as well, so I'm just getting some clarification from you guys. The husband of, is it Khloe Kardashian, you said was caught on photo.
Yep. James, I forget his name.
Was he wearing your jacket?
Oi,
well, where are you going with this, Jason? I don't like this.
Well,
are you saying that...
I don't know.
Well, did you see a photo of her wearing a jacket or something? Or?
I don't think anything would be surprise me with that jacket now, and I wouldn't be surprised if it turns up on one of Chloe's exes. It could be on Lamar Odom, for all I know.
I'd
really have to get it washed. Thank you, Jason, for that.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, Rob. You've got a bit of a follow-up about cafes charging crazy prices.
Vegemite on toast on a wooden board. Vegemite spread, piece of toast, $7.
Oh, come on.
It is on a wooden board,
Deconstructed toast.
Oh, deconstructed Vegemite on toast.
Vegemite on toast.
Can I tell you something?
What?
Next time we go into the state and we send my...
Are you going to demand that?
For Vegemite and toast.
Get that photo.
I now want it on a wooden board.
You know what it looks like? It looks like a smear of...
Mm,
yeah.
Yeah.
Ew. Yeah, it doesn't look great.
James.
That's why would you want to eat it?
Oh, Jane.
Oh, sorry, Mick. Oh,
why would you
a connoisseur of the high life.
Why would you lower the bar?
Oh, for God's sake. I think we better go to a break soon.
We've got Tim Ross.
Istanbul or wherever you
are. And we've got Jackie Gillies standing
coming
by.
Up
and
right
I can't
now,
wait to
can't
see Jack.
A new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy. Jackie Gillies does not hold back.
I'm very passionate, I'm loud, and I'm never going to change.
Whether it's on The Real Housewives of Melbourne...
You are a bogan.
Yeah, cool.
You are. You're vile, you're disgusting, and that's why you're not married.
Telling the man mundane how it is in the jungle...
You get off your ass and do something with yourself, Anthony.
Or challenging her audience on her nationwide tour, Shine It Up.
I want you to go home, I want you to write a list of every single person that's ever angered you, including those family members. Members of yours, and you need to release it.
She's a professional psychic medium, so she probably already knows all of our questions.
Well, I actually knew I was going to be asked to be part of this show.
Please welcome Jackie Gillies.
Yeah.
Yay!
Hi, Jackie.
Hello, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to see you, and you bring great energy when you walk in a room. I have to say, that's one...
Energy, you're over the top. You need to be capsicum sprayed somehow.
No.
You need to be shot in the ass with a tranquilizer dart. You burst through the doors and It's like a madness. It's a Category 5 Jackie
Gillies. It is, but it's great. Oh, I love that.
Mate, have you checked yourself out? You're exactly the same.
Yeah, that's quite true.
Hey, I've got one for you before we get started. Can you, I know, use your psychic powers to tell us where Jane's Triple M jacket is
now? You're all like, do you understand that Mick stole my jacket? He's worn
it. Steal it. I bought it. Off you.
He stole it. He's worn it to a strip club. He's got the strippers to put it on.
Yeah,
he did.
That's what you do.
I know. And I haven't got my jacket back. We're hoping you might.
You're not going to get it back.
Oh, sorry. You can read the future.
No, you're not going to get it back.
You can tell. We'll get you a new one. That'll be great. Hey, thanks for joining us and thanks for swinging by.
Sorry.
We feel like we know you because we've watched you on the telly. And it's all reality based. So we've seen you in jungles and swanning around.
I've never seen you the best, though, as I've seen you in the jungle.
Oh,
and that is where I think, because on the Housewives franchise, we know that that is very heavily edited to add a lot of drama because that's what you want. You want stories and storylines sort of to direct. But when we saw you in the jungle, I have to say, you made me cry.
Quite a lot, actually, because you
went the blub like pretty much nearly every night. But I understand why. Tell me why you were so emotional.
Okay, there's probably three things. The first thing would be I went on this show really to raise awareness for the Maury Kelly Creating Hope Foundation.
Which is incredible.
It's going to make me crave in
thinking. Who are they? Give it out now. What do they do?
Maury Kelly, she's the closest to a saint you'll ever meet in a human being. And in fact, she just asked me today to be an ambassador for the Maury Kelly Creating Hope Foundation. And I said yes. I feel so honored.
Well, that's special. She is takes children in from around the world who have basically got the most unbelievable disfigurements and are in situations where life can't help them, and she takes them on board and she's bloody incredible.
She's trying to make us all look bad. That's what she's trying to do.
She's so amazing. Yeah, that was the first reason. And I knew that they were watching the show. So the second thing, one of the other reasons I was really emotional is not being able to see Ben and have contact with him.
Ben Gillies, your husband.
I love Ben.
We know him as being in Silverchair drummer and he's an ace guy and he loves you very much and was sending lots of vibes to you. I could pick that up.
But so the other reason I was crying is because every time I was voted for a tackle trial, I didn't know that Ben was behind, you know, all the videos trying to get Jackie into the tackle trials. But sometimes I think some of the other people that I was in the show with would be really upset that I was voted for the tackle trial. And so sometimes...
Why would they be upset?
Because you get people out there are
on camera time.
I was just there for the charity, and sometimes I'd have people saying, "Oh, Australia doesn't like you," or this or that, and it really started to affect me a little bit. It really did, because you're in such a confined space, and on top of not getting along with, not that I didn't get along with, just kind of hearing
you clashed a bit with some of the other people.
I know there was one in particular, only one in particular, because he made three women cry,
and that wasn't shown. Was Danny Green.
Yeah, but the thing is, he did make three women cry, and because I caught him out on it, it kind of snowballed from that. But I have to say, he did help me with a few of the challenges. I don't want to speak negatively about anybody, but you know, I'm not going to allow people to make people feel,
and that's not your thing. You're not a negative person, so it took a lot. So also, the Housewives of Melbourne, is that still going? Are you doing that? Is there more series coming of that?
Well, I'm pretty sure it will be commissioned again, but I haven't said yes to season 5. I don't know where I'm going to be. I'm just focusing on the Shine It Up.
You don't know where you're going to be, no one does.
I live in the moment.
She does live in the moment. Now, I might be able to help as well because I have been told on numerous occasions that I might be a witch.
And who's told you that over here? Your second husband?
I may have mentioned it.
No, I apparently, Mick, and this is why you should be very scared.
Cookie's just as tasty.
Listen, no, she gets good vibes.
I have an aura that is witchy, like in a good white witchy way. So I'm just saying that you've got to be careful, Mick Malloy, and I'm just wondering you might pick up something from
Look,
Jackie.
I 100% believe that every single human being is psychic, but when I walk into here, believe we're all got psychic energy, and that is your intuition. And so many people just blow it off and go, oh, that was just a vibe, but that's your psychic energy.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
No, but that's really
intuition. So women are 10 times better at it than men, aren't they?
Well, it's because we're more open to it we're not afraid to speak about our emotions. But what I will say is that when you're asking, I don't like giving cold readings, but because I love you, Jane, I love you, Mick, what I will say is that, you know, you have felt things that have happened before that happened quite regularly. You don't tell that to many people. And you...
Oh, my God, are you doing a reading on me?
Hey.
Well, I tell you what, we
you are pretty good at it,
yeah.
I have to say. I've seen you do
it. You are fantastic.
It always makes me... Now, so this is this whole tour based around doing readings?
No, it's not a psychic tour.
Oh, so what is it?
It's a motivational, inspirational tour where I'm actually a manifestor in life. I believe your thoughts create your experiences. And I've been doing vision boards for many, many years. And on those vision boards, I have everything to this day. And so it's about teaching people how to change their mindset from negative mindset to positive mindset, but also how to learn how to listen to their intuition. But if I am guided to give a psychic vibe or a psychic reading to somebody, then I'll do it.
So many people, and I know that you've been packing them out. You're doing shows right around Australia. And we'll give the details when we finish.
Yes.
But you've got hundreds and hundreds of followers. People really want it. And they do. It just you just make people feel better about this yourself. And I think that's what one of the great things is. Do you know what a vision board is, Mick?
I
don't even know what's on.
Come on, Mick.
Yeah, it's where you, you know, like when serial killers want to kill someone and they'll put a picture of them up. And I'll study what
I'm only letting it's you like get away just because I love you so much, Mick.
It's like a vision board.
No, it's a big party with Jackie. It's a big party with Jackie. Rightio? It's a big party with Jackie. It's about inspiring.
Has Ben helped you with the show? Because it feels like there's lots of energy and dancing and music. And
It's a cross between Oprah Winfrey, Ellen, John Edwards / Anthony Robbins. And Ben has been helping, but he's in the studio doing his record. So he's in between both. Sets.
When will he have something for us as well? When will he have something?
Oh, that's coming. Well, I'll tell you he's going to get
a big announcement.
It's going to be you. It's going to be you. He's going to come.
Can we get the exclusive?
Oh, yeah. I'll make bang. Bang.
Done.
Give us some dates, Dave.
Sure. Tomorrow.
So in Melbourne tomorrow, then you're in Hobart, Albury, Canberra, Adelaide, Perth, Wollongong, Sydney, Newcastle, Brisbane, Gold Coast, Townsville and Cairns.
Can we post those on our website and let people know? Jackie, always great to see you.
And a percentage of all ticket sales will go to the Maura Kelly Creating Hope Foundation, which is awesome.
Jackie Gillies, Tim Rosso next.
Thanks, guys.
Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, and it is massive. The big second hour since we've come back from our holidays. We're still going to ask the question, what happened while we were away? Give us a call, 133353.
And strangely enough, I'm still talking to Mick Malloy, even though he did steal my jacket took it to places that I would not have taken it.
And places I can't remember. I'll have to retrace my steps.
I've got an entertainment report coming
does
up
that
for you.
Include Susan Hannaford?
Yes, it
please.
Will. Just a little clip of what Kitty Sullivan and what's going on
there. I couldn't believe it.
Fascinating.
As well as that, we'll have a little segment called Mick and Jane Gone Wild, where we'll have some heartwarming and almost unbelievable stories from the animal kingdom.
We love that. We'll chat to you. We'll take your calls. We'll take some tweets and other areas on the social media from you.
And much, much more. But let's open the big second hour with our special guest, Tim Ross Brosso. How are you, mate? Thank you for coming back.
It's an absolute pleasure. I was waiting for another one of those great coughs.
I've got one on standby in case you need it.
Now, you're a man who's worked in radio.
Did you know there was a cough button,
Tim?
Did you know?
Well, look, no one's going to. Yeah, I got to remember, I'm never going to give anyone a hard time about being professional. At once, when I was doing breakfast radio, I did a time call, which was my job, not much to it, and I said that it was 8:67.
Sometimes on that big hand and the little hand, it gets a bit confused.
Yeah, it's really tricky.
Even the military are confused by that.
Quite like it, though.
Yeah, it's nice actually to get out of the house. I've been looking after my boys today because it's the school holidays. It's very
difficult. How old are your boys?
4 and 6. Right in it. And juggling that and trying to watch, you know, 4 episodes of The New Lost in Space is very difficult.
Oh, mate, life's tough, hey?
Right, I've got 5-year-old twin boys, and I know I'm exactly in the same zone as you. Went and saw their first 3D film.
Oh, that's
over
fun.
The holidays.
Yeah.
Dad, I'm covered in lava. That alone was worth the price of admission. Hey, now we're going to catch up with you about iconic Australian design, which
we'd
is
love talking about
where
that
we
you.
Left it. Last time. I think we're having a massive argument over the origins of the Hills Hoist. but we'll get to that in the next break. What else has been happening in your life right
well,
now?
Well, speaking of my boys, we've just been in Canberra as well for the holidays.
You know I was born there, don't you? That's
yes.
Favourite song.
Okay, so it's almost like an oxymoron when you say we've been in Canberra for the holidays.
No, I like Canberra a lot. My wife's Nan lives there and she's just turned 90, right?
No, good on her.
So it's a big birthday. Yeah. And for her last birthday, I think two birthdays ago, actually, you know, you're with Nans and you always think, oh, let's get them some photos. And we had these photos that a friend had taken. They were very nice. We had them blown up. Mm-hmm. And Michelle, my wife, said, I'm just going to Country Road to get some frames. And I went, oh, really? I don't think Nans worth the Country Road frames. Just, I've got some hanging around here, you know, a little IKEA job or $2 shop.
It's neck level when you go to Country Road for the frames, I must admit.
It's really is it really worth it? No one else gives the Country Road frames.
How long is she going to have it?
They are expensive.
They are expensive. But anyway, my wife believes in doing the right thing. So we've got these black and white photos of the two boys. Beautiful photos.
Wonderful.
Gave them to Nan and she put them up in the lounge room with all the other photos of our other great-grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And then there we were for a 90th birthday, going back to her place for a cup of tea. And I walked into the lounge room and there's the two frames sitting there. Mm-hmm. But Nan had taken the photos of our kids out and put the other grandchildren in. In the Country Road frames.
Okay.
And even worse, one of the photos was printed out in a very ordinary printer, so it wasn't even a proper photo. It was like
a photocopy print.
Yeah.
I have to ask this now. Yes. Was she just bumping you out of the Country Road frame and had she put you into another one that was less
just
disappeared?
The FBI had been there.
Yeah, the photos are gone. It's not like they've been relegated to somewhere else. I think they've either been covered up or thrown out.
That is outrageous behaviour.
By children not as good looking as mine.
And I've seen your children. They are the cutest kids of all
they
time.
They go all right.
They do.
That would have been the quietest trip home.
They could have done the Country Road catalogue on.
Yes, I was devastated, bloody Nan.
Quietest trip home with you and your wife. Going, I just told you not to get that frame.
See, Nan still got it in her.
Yeah, but this makes it worse, though, because what had happened is that right on the day of the birthday, they rushed off to get a photo done. We had a photo done, and they went straight to Officeworks to get it done. And my wife actually bought another Country Road frame for that one.
Oh, so it's just...
So she's triple Country Road framed.
All right.
She's learned her lesson then. I don't know what you're going to get her next year. Is she still with us?
Yeah, she's still going. It was only a few days ago. Right. But, you know, she's a keen listener, so she's going to be angry.
Well, I hope you're out there, Gran. Are you shocker?
That's
a shocker.
That's not good behaviour.
Was that a design? Who designed the picture frame? Do you've got any idea? It's not
no idea that. At all. Absolutely no idea at all.
That'll go back soon.
Oh, it'll be an Australian designer if it's Country Road.
No, not particularly. The whole concept I was talking about.
Really?
We might talk about that next. We're going to come back and talk iconic Australian designs, which is a strong suit of yours.
Yes.
We had a wild session last time, which involved some robust argument and some great calls.
More with Rosso after this.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
By the way, for info and tickets for 100, an evening with Tim Ross at Australia House in London, themanabouttthehouse.net. Also exhibitions, Design Nation at the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney until December 2. And more shows, Sydney May 5 is A Man About the Rose Seidler House, Rosso, and Design Nation Adelaide May 9.
Harry Seidler, he's a very famous architect, specifically around the Sydney area, was that correct?
Amazing house in the bush.
Yeah, different places in Melbourne too, all over the place.
No, fantastic. Hey, I've just had a thought, well, actually a friend of mine just texted me. He thinks it's an Australian invention, the scuba regulator.
No, let's say yes.
Okay.
Let's take it.
Let's
try
it. Unless somebody says no.
Yeah, I think so too, you know. But, you know, the one that I forgot last time, which I absolutely love, and it comes out of the great place, which is Australians' love of a caravan. And up until the late 1960s, we were all still using double adapters, so the power board wasn't around.
I'm still using them. Yeah.
Yes. And so the first version of the power board was invented and designed in Australia because there was a guy who was sick of the double adapters in his caravan because he wanted to have the Burko going and everything going at the same time.
Sunbeam sandwich maker.
And so the first version of it was a little bit different to the ones that we see today. But in 1978, a Melbourne guy called Robert Pataki, who also designed the baby capsule that many people who would be listening now would have come home in, which was a wonderful and life-saving Australian design. You remember people used to put kids in just in the back, you know, little babies in the bassinet in the back.
That's
right. The bassinet. That was a load of fun. The old crocheted bassinet.
And then,
so you could have a baby carriage in one hand and the esky in the other.
Correct.
You're coming home fully loaded with a tray and no-out.
Yeah, put the kids in the esky to bring them home. But Robert, in 1978, for Cambrook, designed the first power board and they didn't patent it. And, of course, that is an object that we touch every day.
Oh, my God.
And it was needed too because I remember the time when there were more and more electronic devices. And when you start putting attaching double adapters, double adapters, you go, someone solved a big problem for us. Last time on air, we were talking about the origins of the Hills Hoist, iconic Australian design or not. You say no.
Yeah, I still stand by the fact that there was an English mob who were making that.
See, I would have had that on our flag. I would have been so convinced.
It makes people very angry. Sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just assume, don't you?
The pavlova is another invention that's still in contention because the New Zealanders also claim the pav that was created for Margot Fonteyn from memory.
But I would have thought, I'm going back to the Hills Hoist because I won't let this go.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And a pavlova.
What are they drying off in an English backyard? I think that's why I was confused into thinking that must be ours because that's an Australian thing.
They're a space-saving device, essentially, so you can... They can go up, go
down. But surely we invented the idea of hanging a rope from it, getting a dog on it, and then swinging it around really fast. That has to be ours.
But I like the fact that there's many things that we've designed that are because we're a nation of piss heads. And, of course, the wine cast is a famous one.
Correct.
Awesome.
Yes.
And then I was doing a talk on the weekend, and it was actually my next-door neighbour was there, and he said, I was just talking about the wine cast, and he said, I invented this thing called the tip and go. Back in the day. And remember when people used to drink out of flagons of wine before the wine cast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
so
not me.
But... he invented a tap that you just screw the flagon into and then you sort of pull it like a little lever on it. But the one that's sort of interesting that they sold millions of them all over the world is the Decor wine cooler.
Oh, yes.
And there's the trendy plastic Decor wine cooler and it's got you put two bottles of wine in it and then there's a cylinder in the center that you fill up with water and leave it in the freezer and then you can put your white wine in there. And that happened because we're a nation of pissheads and we all wanted to go to Chinese restaurants before licensed restaurants were around. And the reason they sold so many of them is because you'd never bring them home. Because you'd leave them, you'd go to a barbecue and then, what happened to the Decor wine cooler? Oh, I was pissed, I left it there. But the extraordinary thing about them is that they've been you see them at garage sales, they're still around and they are very popular. But there's one in the Museum of Modern Art in New York in the permanent collection because of its brilliant design.
Wow. See, that's
I tell you, there's one in Ray and Jill Kennedy's pantry cupboard that gets a good run these days.
That should be open for exhibitions. So what about the stubby cooler? I'm guessing that was an Australian invention too, was it?
I'd
have to think so. That would have been invented in Darwin or somewhere.
Yeah, and the six, you know, that six-pack cooler. Which
the foam cooler.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, a guy called Charles Fury who did the Siebel Integra chair that they sell them. They're all in all the prisons in America, an Australian invention, plastic chair. Everyone would have sat on them.
They're light to throw.
Yeah, they're easy to throw at people, but they always turn. They've been in every Netflix drama, the Siebel Integra chair.
They go in prison, they can handle an Australian barbecue. It's pretty much how that goes. What about the cup holder that you see in cars? There was a time when that never... Remember in the old days, you used to have to put down... The dashboard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they had a little thing for this.
Had a little holder on the back of it. But what about, did we invent the cup holder while you're
driving? That's all about the Americans. But you remember those little cylinder cups that would come in, they're like aluminium that have a little, they're in a zip pocket.
Yes.
They'd stack them on top of each other. They were an Australian invention. But the other one that worked, that has been very successful overseas, which is the cafe bar. And if you remember those, so there they've got a cylinder of hot water in the middle of them, and then it's got these sort of three or four dials on it, and then you just give the dial a little bit of a and then get a little bit of Milo, or it gives you a little bit of international roast or some whitener. And before the Nespresso,
They preceded the Nespresso, didn't they?
Yeah, they were the original version of the Nespresso.
We got a few calls come through.
Let's get them. Let's do that after the break.
Okay.
Let's give us your call now and ask us. Maybe we can get Rosso to say yes or no.
Okay.
Is it is or something else.
And you can fake it even if you don't know.
Yeah, I will. Don't worry about that.
Let's do it as soon as we get back.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Tim Ross is joining us. Look, for tickets on Tim's shows and all things Tim Ross, you can go to themanabouthehouse.net. Jane Kennedy McMalloy.
We're talking to Ross about iconic Australian design. A lot of them seem to be alcohol related, which says a lot about us as a people. Yeah. Let's take Dave as our first caller. Dave, you've got more, I believe.
Good afternoon, all. How's it going?
Good. What's the design?
The old infamous breathalyzer.
So you're suggesting that was a...
That's a ripper.
An Australian invention? What do you think, Rosso?
Why not? Well, let's just say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, well, it makes sense. The extraordinary thing about when they brought in the breathalyzing back in the day was that people were outraged about it. They were up in arms.
Like a violation of my personal rights.
Exactly right. And if you look at the archive of the news stories of the day, people are so upset. They interviewed all these blokes. It's un-Australian. You should be able to drive home pissed. What's wrong with this country?
Well, I thought that was the prevailing mood.
But it was, because I grew up in a house that had dinner parties every week.
Yeah.
And my father's famous expression was, one more for the road. Yeah. Honestly, one more for you get pissed in your car and drive home.
If you go to any great Australian pub that was designed in and around the 70s, they're generally attached to a car park for 400 cars.
Yes.
What point?
That's correct.
People, it was honestly okay to sit there.
Hey, Dave, that's a good one.
And drive home. I hope it... Well, it's the most un-Australian invention of all alcohol-related, the breathalyzer.
Good on you, Dave. Lumpy, tell us about something that your great-grandfather invented.
Yeah, this will be good. Look, I do concur about the breathalyzer, by the way, definitely. okay, so my great-grandfather of Chinese descent, believe it or not, Chinese descent, that's where I get my nickname from, Lumpy, being Lumpy is a Chinese descent name.
Okay.
He actually, right, it's not that I'm fat, I am, but I...
Okay, go on, Lumpy, quick.
Lumpy.
So he invented the indicator on the car, the electric indicator on the car.
Well, that's a pretty major invention.
Hang on a second, Lumpy. I would have thought that would be coming out of the Ford factory or something overseas.
Yeah, but it's Chinese, you know, like Chinese, you know, I think it's, you know what I'm saying?
I won't have any crude.
An interesting family history that perhaps may need some fact checking.
Well, that's un-Australian too, the Alec. Can he invent something that makes old people turn it off?
Hey, thanks, Lumpy, though. We do believe you. Good on you. Suze.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, how are you going?
Good, good. Well, in the 80s, I had the Decor wine cask cooler.
Okay, now this is the most Australian
this
of them all.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so the same guy we were talking about before. Yeah, Richard Carlson design.
So what did he do, Rosso? What was the plan?
Yeah, he designed it after he did the other one. They went, oh, this is really good. Put two bottles of wine, but what about the people who drink cask
goon bag.
Wine? So you take the goon bag out of the actual paper box.
Yep.
And then you put it in like a little esky, and then you put...
And the tap comes out through
The tap comes through it, yeah. And you can carry it around.
And why you wouldn't just take the cask out? Who knows that idea either? It just defeats the purpose.
But, you know, it keeps it cold.
Oh,
you
know? Of course.
I love it. The Australians.
Hey, thank you, Suze, for that. Carl.
Carl.
Hey, Carl.
Hello, Carl. Carl, you have possibly you're going to lob what I think might be the greatest Australian invention of all time. What is it?
It's the old dolphin torch.
The old dolphin torch.
And I was just looking at one this morning in our laundry, and it still works. And Dave, we were saying it just always works.
Yeah, I've not had mine on for 2 years.
Out. I reckon there wouldn't be a laundry or a cupboard under a laundry that wouldn't have a dolphin torch in it at some stage. Yeah, tell us we invented that. Don't let us down there.
Yeah, early 1970s, Paul Coburn designed that in
Sydney.
And
why did they invent it so chunky and big?
Yeah, it was designed to, because that big square battery that they take, it's essentially a handle for a battery. So Eveready were looking for ways for people to use batteries. That particular battery they designed to make those old-fashioned telephones ring, and, of course, they didn't need them anymore.
Oh.
So they were looking around for places, things to do. And so, Paul designed the dolphin torch, and for 14 years it was the highest-selling torch anywhere.
Was it for maritime use specifically or anything? Because it is waterproof, and I always associate it with...
Yeah, with the ad.
A fisherman in a boat at night.
Christ, where's me bloody dolphin?
And then that goes right up there with, the Caroma dual flush toilet, which is a great invention.
Explain that to me. What's that? The original dual flush.
Yeah, well, people used to just put a brick in the cistern to reduce water use. And I thought, well, what's the new version of that? And, of course, every day we use them, and this idea that you can have two chambers, one for wheeze and one's for the other stuff. And then, and at a time, I think that early 1980s when Caroma designed it, we were in the
water
terrible drought was going on at the time, and you know, and to this day, they're very popular all over the world. They particularly love them in Las Vegas.
Is there a reason that we're missing there? To flush things down the toilet?
No, just don't. It's just a desert.
Get rid of evidence? what are you alluding to, Jim?
Just a desert. Yeah. No, that's the sort of thing.
Will someone take that to the next level, though? It's like men razors who've got, like, now we've got three blades, blades. Well, they come in the Corona trio.
And just quickly, sorry, there was the Nilex swing bin.
Yeah.
As well,
yeah,
which is another one.
All right. We'll get to that next time. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We love this
Tim,
talk, Tim.
For coming in. It's always fascinating. Yes. We've got your dates again, have we, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. You can get it all at themanabouthehouse.net. We'll also throw it up at kennedymalloy.com.au. Thank you, Rosso.
Thank you, Rosso.
Cheers.
This is Kennedy Malloy around Australia.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
They've read every mag, tweet and blog and spoken to every unnamed source, so you don't have to. Kennedy Malloy's Showbiz Report.
Well, at least I have read every mag and blog. And
that's driven you mad not to be able to go and talk on radio about reality TV for a week.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, because it's your love, love.
It's not my first love.
Well, it is.
I watch it so you don't have to. There's a title of the show. I watch it, so you don't have to.
And what, did you catch over the break?
You did catch something that I caught last night.
Last night, wow. This blew me away.
It blew me away as well. It was on Sunday night on Channel 7.
Oh, jeez.
And they had been promoting it, and it was it was an interview with Susan Hannaford, who played the role of Kitty Sullivan in The Sullivans.
Gorgeous Kitty, who we all fell in love
with. The schoolgirl with the plaits.
From the opening scene where she steals a hat and runs off down the street.
From Terry, you know, and she was just the sweetheart of Australia.
She was awesome.
For many, many years. See, this is what happens too. It's a bit, when they cast these roles for Kitty, I think she was supposed to be 15. I think at the time she was about 35, to be honest. So,
come on.
You know, she's now, believe it or not, well, after seeing it last night, believe it or not, she's 64. And she's looking
like... I'd like to see some ID, please. Add another 30 years.
She could do
terrific.
She could appear in a Cocoon special, Bold and the Beautiful.
I'm not barely recognisable. Unrecognisable as Kitty Sullivan.
The word work, I think, pertains to her. And she's been living in Los Angeles for years.
You're probably trying to put away the hot pants, I would have thought.
At 64, that's a look, yeah. I reckon it might be time. There might need to be an intervention there. Look, she looked pretty hot and
No, she didn't, Jane. She's done something that I swear to you, if you put a picture up, you wouldn't be able to pick her out of a
lineup. You wouldn't. Now, the point that she was being interviewed, which is a little bit tough, they've tracked her down and there's been...
To her Hollywood mansion.
Yeah, accusations of a bit of a scam that she'd been involved in. So let's just hear her. And this is the interviewer as he talks about what she may or may not have done.
Is there anything you'd like to say to the Australian public who are trying to make up a determination on you to work out whether Kitty Sullivan, the young girl that we fell in love with in the 70s and 80s, has gone on to become one of the greatest scam artists Australia has seen?
I think it's funny. And I think trying to blame me for a recession is just, it's silly. It's silly. I mean, people have to make up their own mind, and I'm sure they will.
You're not worried about the authorities recognising a pattern here with your refinancing?
No, there is no pattern. That's just silly.
You're not worried about the authorities coming after you over, for example, mortgage fraud?
No, because it never happened. That's just silly. You're so cute, but it's silly.
See, that's so silly. You're so cute. I'm talking out loud. What's going on? Have I gone mad?
There's some... Whatever's gone on, it sounds ingenious to me.
Well, so the accusation is there's a property scam going on. She's... the Commonwealth Bank's still trying to track her down over 4.65. She's left a trail of debt everywhere. And she's now living in a house in...
LA.
She's hiring out for parties.
That's right. And she's dropped names like... Justin Bieber, parties there, Chris Brown. Gee, that'll be a good
party. She had Leonardo DiCaprio's chef over. He got involved in a chef fight.
And she has adopted her grandchildren. Her daughter's still alive and there's, you know, lives in Seattle, the other side of the world.
She may be drugged up.
But those children call her mummy, not grandma.
Yeah, it's a bit weird one.
And apparently all the houses are in the name of her mother, who's now about in her 90s.
And no one can track down.
No.
Yes.
We don't know. But
now, close? Yeah.
You've got to be careful because she does want to warn that she can be litigious. Can we just hear how she reacts after the interview's finished?
Be careful what you say, because, you know, I do have lawyers.
Of course, you know. I fully understand.
And sure enough, a few days after this...
Don't be upset. You're so sweet. You're like, don't you? No, you like me.
She made good on her promise with a 14-page legal threat warning us not to run this story.
Have you mentioned that she's wearing all white, her kids are wearing white, her hair is white, she's in a house that's full of white. It looks like that evil castle from Frozen. You know, have you mentioned this at all? It's like she's...
Wow.
Her face is frozen, let's be
honest.
Seriously,
I mean, look, I was quite fascinated. If you get a chance, just
you want
check
to play
out.
Her in a movie? You want to play...
I actually tweeted last night.
Your hand up for the
I'm throwing my hand up. I couldn't wait to get up in that get up and... Oh. I'm sorry to say that. Get up.
I just saw the photo for the first time.
Well, there
that's
you go.
Shocking. That's Kitty Sullivan.
That's shocking.
That is amazing.
Seriously, you want to go? Can we put this on our website or
yeah, we'll put up a picture.
One of our handles?
Okay, so while we were away, there's another thing that
what
happened. There was the MKR episode that screamed. Screamed.
Now, we promoted this before we left. Manu came on this show and said he was appalled at
and
the shocking behaviour.
And he was fair dinkum.
Even
off air, he goes, no, this not happy is camping. Just not happening. These birds have gone too far. Sonia and Hadil, and they're friends, and they're great cooks, actually, yeah. This is the thing. And they were good-spirited with each other, but they just had, over the period of time, started bullying behaviour that got, and it culminated. Do you want to hear the shakedown?
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's hear.
They don't belong in top eight because they can't cook.
Hadil.
Stop talking. You stop talking. You stop talking. Why are you talking? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Don't you get involved. Keep your mouth closed and throw your argument.
Guys, it's Kim and Song's home.
I don't care.
You're at their home.
Shut up, Josh.
Teams.
Shut up, Josh.
Have respect.
Stay out of it. Don't let me come for you. Stay out of it.
Don't threaten me.
Bit of a subtle threat doesn't go astray.
We'll come for you too. Don't you worry.
I actually saw Sonia and Hadil's true colours tonight. You don't threaten anybody.
And I'll come for you, and I'll come for you, and I'll come for you, because you're all disrespectful assholes.
James, please, please.
That's what you are. Assholes.
Enough.
Oh, see, that's what I wanted to say to you when you'd taken my jacket.
It sounds like you and Whitney around the office. It does.
Anyway, they were asked to leave. Manu said, this is unacceptable.
And
you
were
like, leave the table. And we all tuned in the other night. Actually, that episode bloody rated its socks off, mind. About 1.6 million Australians
right
watched that.
People are back on board. MKR, give it a run.
There you go. So they're gone. They're not coming back, everyone. Just saying. They're gone.
We'll be coming back after the break. Hold on.
Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Massive breaking news.
Breaking
What's
royal
happened?
News.
Wow.
The Duchess of Cambridge has been admitted to St Mary's Hospital in the early stages of labour with her third child on the way. And I predict in about an hour she'll be on the steps with blow-dried hair and a baby in her arms. And she would have lost 30 kilos.
She's going to hospital. She's in
she
labour.
She pops them out like that and she looks beautiful.
No, we're not. No.
What?
I just said we should ring the hospital and prank them. It's been done before and this radio network got in a lot of trouble over it. So
well, perhaps
not a good
we
idea.
Won't. We
if
won't
you can't
do
have
that.
A bit of fun, what's the issue?
It is.
Hey, can I ask this?
Yeah.
Even as a royal, would you have to go to the birth?
Oh my
or
God.
Could you say...
I'm still, you know what?
Could you take it just say, I'm the next king of England, I refuse. The old days, you chop the heads off.
What is so
the old in the old days, if this isn't a boy, she'd be in a lot of trouble.
Oh.
So have
do
a think about how far you've come, ladies.
What makes me laugh is you speaking about childbirth. This is just ridiculous.
Instead, I'm a father of two boys.
I know you are.
Whatever their names are.
Fact, I know you would more. Have. I know you would have smoked two big fat cigars when you had your boys.
I did.
Yes, yeah, so did I.
During
wasn't
the
even
birth. In the birthing suite. Hey, well, this is big news.
It is, and Pippa Middleton. Yeah. See, now, you've got to know your timing. There's etiquette to do with this. Kate's sister.
She's always trying to cut Kate's lunch.
She's trying to cut Kate's
with
lunch.
With her big caboose.
She tried to do it on her wedding day. She is also pregnant and announced it yesterday.
Oh.
And I'm saying, I think you should have just held off until the baby's born. Right, can't you just hold off?
Something going on with those sisters.
I think there
Who
is something.
Who wears white to a wedding if you're not the bride? I mean, I don't know much about the etiquette. But...
Oh, you're so amusing.
Hey,
you amuse me.
Hey, now you've been great today too, by the way.
Don't speak in that patronising voice to me.
What? So it's great to have the whole team back together and have a onwards, upwards, forward-looking show. That's all.
I've told you I have a ripping sense of humour and I'm far more mature than you.
Good to see it on display occasionally. When will that emerge?
What did you think when you saw the photo of the strippers and the jacket, Jane? Yeah, when you first saw that strip on Instagram.
Let's call them adult entertainers, please.
Oh, fellas, I just thought it was just good fun.
Did you?
Oh, I laughed.
Yeah, and then the one with the dog line on the jacket.
Ah, oh, that's a good one.
That's cute, I thought.
It's still there. Well, yeah. It wasn't.
I must track
that down.
Just look at me very carefully. No.
Triple M jacket. That's not the first time that's been to the strippers. I don't know where you got it, but I guarantee you, back in the 80s, had a good run.
You're so smug.
Are we all done?
You're so
I'm
smug.
I'm not smug.
You?
I'm
you
just glad
smug.
You...
No, don't say anything. Don't point your little finger at me either like that. And I'm just enjoying this because you never know.
Oh, Jane, don't you please. Never don't threaten it. Let's move on.
Really?
Move on.
If you haven't seen the photos, by the way, at McMalloy 66 or Kennedy Malloy.
And if you've seen the jacket, can you give me a call? Do you know what I'll have to do?
Do you know, this is very serious because you've seen me cry quite a lot.
Oh, yeah, sure have.
You've seen nothing yet.
Oh, dear.
It's about the only thing that isn't on the jacket is your
what?
Tears.
Oh, we'll be soon.
Get it down to forensic.
Hey, big show tomorrow. Limo, Adam Rosenbart, and a whole lot more.
This is our Anzac Day special.
You
this is going to be
it.
Massive.
Tomorrow.
Awesome.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, which is probably why the show's called Kennedy Malloy. That's just my best guess.